Longer. Hey, there we are. Hey, folks, thanks for coming to the Young Pot. Thanks young for tuning in to the Banff podcast. We have that rarest of all creatures, a young RPG guy sitting next to me here. Brad Randall, how are you doing, sir?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
I am super. And my co-host below me with the Hulk icon is Aid Smith from across the pond, also a writer from Modiphius Press. How you doing, Aid?
Oh, I'm good, thank you.
Cool, cool. And Brad runs a cool Facebook page. You see the URL right here below, Bork's Memes. And tell us, our viewers, a little bit about what you do there, Brad.
So I started up a homebrew page a long time ago called Home Stews and House Brews. I made a new item or spell or feat for 5th edition every day. I made the art for it. I made the stats for it. I did all the writing. It was largely and wonderfully not lucrative. So I decided to break into the meme area of things. The idea being, hey, what if I can do some filler in between stuff? Those wound up doing a lot better than I was anticipating. Later and further on, it wound up ballooning into, hey, I've got, you know, several thousand followers on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm posting these things for the community, and it's being seen by 250,000 to 500,000 people a month. And then saying, okay, what do I turn this into? I want to make it a point where people can look at something and just get a, you know, a good boost to their day, no matter where they're at. Because I know, especially right now, a lot of folks are either adapting to online gaming or they are not gaming at all. And for a lot of folks, those memes are that fix. It's wound up, I would hope, helping a lot of folks out. But it's definitely a very fun time. I come up with usually one to two new things every day. It's a good time. I get a solid amount of community engagement, which is really nifty to see a lot of folks where they take content and go with it. Because there are a lot of folks that really enjoy the, I'll make some posts every now and again that are like, hey, here's a bad idea for a homebrew, or hey, here's a nifty take on a character that we might not have seen.
So do you find you get much crossover between the meme audience and people who are there for the RPG content?
Honestly, yeah.
Really? Cool.
I find, and this is the hard part about the, you know, making RPG content right now, is that where Critical Role inspired a start up a podcast, start up a page, start up a thing mentality, you know, we've got a very big pond and a lot of very small fishes. So trying to break out with, hey, I'm making my own content, I found that not a lot of people are willing to engage with that content without it having a name worthwhile, of course, attached to it in advance. I've been trying to bust into the writing community, trying to get a bit more out there. Doing so when most of the writers in the community have my age in experience is definitely proving interesting. For those that don't know, I am 22 years old. I do not remember 9/11. I do also not remember the beginning of the Phantom Menace being released.
Oh, God bless you, sir. And I'm just so thrilled to see young dude role playing, because it's like I said before they go live, usually it's a bunch of old dudes, you're waiting for them to die. It's nice to see the next generation come along.
There's a sizable amount of folks. And I found a few interesting things about the younger demographic. We've got a lot of folks that are female and non-binary, which I think a lot of the other demographics are not necessarily lacking, but not bringing to the table as much. I find personally the demographics break up into the stereotypical grognards that are like, okay, are you a big fan of metal? Are you big into comic books? You know, do you remember opening up your Redbox? There you go. Next age group, you're going to find a lot of the folks that were like, okay, so World of Warcraft was not enough. I found this thing on Reddit called Dungeons and Dragons. I'm going to play that for the rest of my life. That's really like the 35 to 45 for age bracket right now. And then the 35 and under is like the, hey, I was a theater geek in high school and I really love Critical Role. Where does that go? It's interesting to see with that younger age group, a lot of the demographic breakdown is leaning almost 50-50 male and female towards the 18 to 25 range.
Really?
Yeah. Which, and I'm interested to see this because a lot of the stuff I see on places like DriveThruRPG or DM's Guild, they still use the he or his for the player playing the game instead of the they. I think that transition in the RPG community is going to be very interesting to watch going forward. I know a lot of publishers have switched over, and that was kind of the focus of Wizards of the Coast releasing Tasha's, where they were like, hey, what if we just didn't tick these people off? Because they're very vocal. And they tried to make it as all-encompassing as possible. That's been interesting to see play out.
Indeed. If folks want to find you on Twitter, you're at... let me see if I can get a banner up there, because that is much more useful than me just saying it. But yeah, I just had one of your... one I just saw up on your page. You know, it's so much easier to read on Facebook. I'll probably have to blow this up a little bit, but... there's a magical moment in every campaign where the tone drastically shifts. One moment you're hoping Lord Jacob, long may he reign, defeat a horde of attacking orcs. Next thing you know, you're hoping Yoda steal fantasy ketamine in his homebrew 2001 Honda Civic. I've been in that game. I love that.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of magic in subverting the general narrative or tone of a regular game. One of the other projects I was actually really lucky to be involved in, there was a... Crossroads running through, it was based in the state of Maine. We ran, trying to run a West Marches format. It turned into a totally different thing. We based it on Discord. It was in person from like November to February of 2019. And then we switched over to a online gaming format. It was eight DMs, including myself. We were like, hey, what if we just started running stuff in the same world? It ballooned into this thing where we had like 200 active players in the same setting playing characters between DMs. I wound up running like probably 200 or 300 games in that year. About like 3 to 5 a week at that clip, and it just ended. You know, that's why I'm able to make time for this. I'm hoping to be getting another one started up around February called Adventures in Aeronae. There will be some news about that going on in the future.
All right, cool. I'll go ahead, sir.
I'd love to have you guys on. If you guys would love to guest star and play, I'd love to plug for you guys.
Oh, I love talking into a microphone, so I could definitely make that happen.
I feel you there.
You know, this is, I know back in the early, it's probably a cliche at this point, back in the early day of Twitter, there were people like the guy with the dumb shit my dad says. You know, people got book deals off of Twitter. I got to think that just a collection of these memes, that would just be fun to see that in a little thin print volume. It's, you know, something to think about. You know, I could see that as a gift for the DM who has everything, makes it a sense of humor.
Yep. There's a wonderful guy. I cannot thank him enough for being as wonderful of a person as he is. His name is Clinton Boomer.
Oh, yeah.
One of my heroes of the RPG realm. That man was one of the original writers of the Pathfinder setting. That man did A Hole Behind Midnight. He was also one of the coolest people ever to talk to. If you wind up getting in a thread with him, it's just magical. He actually did something like that. And shameless advertisement, I've in no way been paid to say this. Go online, find his book. He did, I want to say it's RPG Side Quest or something related to, it might have been Murder Hobo. I'll have to look that up. But he did exactly that, what you're talking about, where he... ran these character kind of skits on Twitter. Wound up selling that as soft cover, and it's really fun to read through. I'm hoping right now to get to that level. I've got right now about 600 or so memes posted, all of which brand new. I don't like, you know, borrowing or stealing memes from other places. I figure that's for other pages to do, and they steal my stuff, so they're okay with it. But you know, it's a fun time.
Yeah, that's I've been scrolling through as you see here, and yeah, there's a lot of good comedy there. Yeah, I want to throw out this one story, and I can't help myself but tell it because I only get a chance like once every 5 years. But this healing potion Molotov cocktail reminded me. I knew some guys back in the suburban Indiana in the 90s who were playing a LARP. God bless them. And they'd all go down their bathrobes and their house coats and go out in the woods and with their foam swords and everything. And the GM here really was sick of people not having an economy around the health potions. They were chugging them too much. Okay, I was in a fight, I'll chug a potion. So he started making the potions more interesting. Like, okay, you took this much damage, you want to heal. All right, you can drink this potion, but I got to warn you, it's Crisco and sea brine. So, you know. It's you know, it's spaghetti and Mountain Dew. So yeah.
My favorite homebrewed healing potion is the it's I call it the go-go juice. I have an artificer in a campaign I run, very much blatantly stolen from Rick and Morty. His name is Richard. The concept being, hey, he's this go-to artificer. He makes, everything you could need out of MacGuffinite that he finds just readily. But his go-to drink is go-go juice. It is vodka, healing potion, and just a light bit of pineapple juice for flavor. Having players deal with the disadvantage rolls of being inebriated without the negative effects of potential exhaustion therein is a very funny time. I had a player one time who was they ran a monk who had two bottles at their hips. They were playing the Drunken Fist style. One was vodka, one was healing potion. Both were unlabeled, and it was really just a toss up of whether or not they were going to go for the alcohol or the healing. Really fun playthrough. Just great to see. Oh yeah, on there, there's a dabbling of. I started messing around with comics for a little bit. I do a little bit of art for comics just to kind of see if I liked it. It was speedy, you know. It's like a Shen Comics knockoff. I'm trying to get my own style worked in there. That's going to be a later project. Hoping to go.
Sounds good. So you have a project you want to talk about?
Indeed.
And we wanted to. Let me pull up some of the art here real fast. And hey, you're kind of quiet, sir. How's things going for you tonight?
That's good. I'm interested in kind of like the next generation's approach to GM and stuff. It's fascinating to say. My biggest fear is I've been playing this since 83, 84, is it just goes away.
Yep.
And that's the worry. And I'm trying to introduce my nephews to this kind of thing, and they're kind of just, I started when I was 8, they're getting to be that age, and I'm starting thinking, oh, maybe we'll start playing some stuff. And it's just great to see it continue onward. So
honestly, and this is a controversial topic, I don't know, video games are not good now. They are just bad from a gameplay standpoint. A lot of companies have essentially turned into trailer factories where they say, okay, I'm going to make the best graphics I can for the best game I can so that people will at least look at it like a movie trailer and pay the $20 I see it in theaters. And that's kind of been the pre-order model as it stands right now, where consumers are paying for a product that doesn't exist. What that's turned into and ballooned into is we've got people buying DLCs for games and pre-ordering games online and buying all this extra doodads and whatnot that go into a game that doesn't wind up being bought. I think a lot of the younger age group like myself has taken a look at the, you know, video games are too expensive for us to play viably. Our tabletop RPGs are the way of the future, I think, because, you know, and I approach this from the standpoint of a dev. I wanted to be a video game maker when I grew up. But video game makers have a shelf life. They only have a job as long as whatever programming language they've learned stays involved in the overall community. So it's been interesting to see, but I really don't think TRPGs are going away. I think the stigma being broken down is going to be super huge. Sorry, I saw that you just pulled up the image of the miniature holder.
Yes, switching them out. Yeah, I have to agree with you. It's a different time, and I remember growing up, of course, in my day, I was playing games that if you saw them now, you would laugh and say, how are you ever amused by this shit? But my first console was the Atari 2600. And growing up, you wanted to be a guy who made games like that. And then you meet some people who are peripheral to the game, the system, and you're like, oh, wow, that sounds like an awful way to make a living. Good Lord, how do you people survive? And so I still work in computers, but I'll go ahead, Abe.
Yeah, it's because, like, considering that the new consoles cost $500,000 to pick up as well, it's like, D&D book for $30 or $450 for a console. It's like, okay, yeah, there might be one or two games out there you might want to play, but you know, you've spent an awful lot of money on playing FIFA 2021, which seems to be the thing in the UK. So why would you do that? But yeah, okay.
Yeah, so. Let's talk about your product here. What's going on with this? When can we expect to see it? And what's the story?
So that's a mini holder. That is a holder for miniature figurines. I was making a meme one day where I was like, hey, why have we been playing Dungeons and Dragons for 40 some odd years and nobody's figured out how to store minis? And then I was like, wait a minute, I can figure that out. I sat down, did a few additions where I put like steel washers on the bottoms of minis and put little neodymium magnets inside of, oddly enough, there were these like vending machine acorns. And my goal was to just have something that I could transport my minis in so that they wouldn't catch a spontaneous case of broken arm syndrome. What that turned into was I was like, okay, this works really well. I put a neodymium magnet inside of an acorn, worked super good. But I work for a shipping company. That's my 9-to-5. I was trying to figure out how to get that shipped from point A to point B without setting off sensors along the way. So I came up with the rail system. It is a three-directional rail. It runs in and then supports the miniature. It's like a little lipped track. So you can take the miniature and shake it around, and it won't come undone. The main idea behind that is to make it so that you put a miniature in the case, secure it based upon the only portion that is not sensitive to damage. And then what you get out of that is a case that can store the miniature in any direction. And here's the little fun bit. I put a little lip on the inside of the lid here. What that does is that pushes in to the case itself. It makes it so that when I shake this around, this is a $20 mini, by the way. I really trust this.
you painted it too, so there's a lot of faith there.
Yeah, this is not harmed. It makes it so that, and my main thing is I'm trying to figure out how to market this towards folks like Hero Forge or folks like miniature painters online who do custom mini painting, and then turn around and wrap it in bubble wrap and hope for the best. I don't get why we still do that. Like, I don't get why people put stuff in foam that scratches stuff, which I see, like, whenever I was looking for cases, it was like the Warhammer massive storage units. And I was like, man, like 3/4 of the community is D&D players that just play. They just have the one mini, they've got their character sheet, their dice. Mm-hmm. That's really it. They don't need something massive, you know? And so I was like, hey, what if this was just a one thing? Put some indents on the outside of it so that a person can zip tie it shut. Mm-hmm. Makes it so that an artist painting these can ship them, be all set to go. I'm hoping this is the next dice bag. Because everybody and their neighbor has a $15 dice bag, which is just essentially a sack. I don't get why we're paying $15 for Crown Royal sacks, but that's neither here nor there. My goal is to make it so that people can actually keep and own minis and not break them. And I know you mentioned the time frame for that. I'm looking to have that ready to go around the February range. Okay. I've already got some manufacturers in the works. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of a area called Dirt Cheap Dungeons. They're a big group of folks that makes modular castle sets. Their head guy, Cameron, I've actually gotten in contact with him for a manufacturing solution for this to get these manufactured in mass. I work for a shipping facility that literally specializes in receiving products, selling those products online, managing the customer service for those products, and then getting them from point A to point B. That being my 9-to-5, that's the other area of the equation outside of the manufacturing and advertising. Hopefully that perfect storm of meme page manufacturing and order fulfillment will be a good time. I don't yet know what that will look like. Price point's going to be difficult to figure out because I'm still working on getting the overall price for the injection mold.
Okay.
Once I've got that worked out, my goal is to do somewhere between $15 and $20 for, you pay that certain amount, get that shipped out to you. I'm going to be having a couple of different sizes as well. So this tray slides in and out.
Mm-hmm.
This holds a medium-sized mini for WizKids D&D. Mm-hmm. Standard mini size. I'm working on other trays just like this one that hold different sizes and different dimensions.
Okay.
My dream would be for these to be the primary shipping method of a company like WizKids or Hero Forge. Mm-hmm. Whether or not that's doable, we'll figure that out. But for the time being, I'm hoping to get that launched January to February. It will be advertising the ever living snot out of that. My goal is to get that in everyone's face so that everybody is aware that it's being sold, and if people like it, they buy it.
Cool. Appreciate you making the announcement here. Are you thinking Kickstarter, Game on Tabletop, Indiegogo, a little bit of both, all three?
I'm looking to do Kickstarter mainly. That seems to be where the buying audience is at. Mm-hmm. The hard part I have with the tabletop community vendors and storefronts is they are very, very, very flush with folks making content for them and almost entirely devoid of people purchasing or interacting with that content. And there's some really great people involved with every aspect of it, making sure that it's as good of a possible or as good as possible of an experience for consumers. Mm-hmm. But what I think it really lacks is community engagement. It's kind of the Pinterest problem, where what do you have when you've got 30,000 influencers on the same social media site and only 10,000 people actually consuming that content?
I can definitely see that point, especially with certain RPG sites where there's situation you describe. I saw someone post a survey on Twitter, on RPG Twitter, about, hey, how many of you publishers are actually taking home profits and not just spending them on drive-through RPG right away? And I was like, oh, yeah, some months that's been me. So,
well, there's profits. I remember hearing some vague mention of this many moons ago, but profits?
Wait, you guys are getting paid? What?
Yeah, that's kind of the hurdle I've encountered, because I was making homebrews for a long time. I had some of the bigger ones on, they might still be on D&D Beyond. I think they are. I made this one, like, when I first started out, it was like this awakened pupper. And it's still available, I want to say. I'm going to try and track that down and get you a link. But it wound up being one of the, more viewed things on D&D Beyond. And I was like, oh, cool. This is my ticket up. I really want to write for some companies, get some cool stuff going. What that turned into was, hey, I got like a few thousand views, went nowhere. And trying to break into that community where there's a lot more people making content than buying it is like, okay, what makes people buy content? It's the notoriety of the name behind it. People wanted Matt Mercer's stuff because Matt Mercer was a voice actor, not because his stuff was good. And
I do mainly superhero RPGs, and I've been frustrated with the market there for the same reason. There's an awful lot of, if it's a name they recognize, and most of the guys doing this are my age or older, they recognize, this author put something out, it's going to sell. It really doesn't even matter. And is this your Awakened Pupper right here?
Yes. That was the Awakened Pupper. That was one of the first ones I did. This was June of... Oh, this might have been...
2019?
Yeah, May of 2019, yeah.
Okay, I actually found your post about it on Reddit, and from there was able to find it over here.
You found that on Reddit?
Nice. So are you not a hazard on Reddit?
No.
Information has moved around.
That's cool. That's really cool.
I will send you a chat. Oh, you... this might be... This is the one I found, and it sounds like...
Please rate my awakened dog. That's
the one we're showing off right now. It's not yours. This is okay. Let me show off yours then. Awakened Pupper, Canem La Quintus.
So this one was written in a comedic format, not mm-hmm. the voice of a standard, like, it's not Kobold Press or Goodman Game style of wording. But the idea was just like get stuff on writing. Anybody looking at this in the future, if you're in any way looking for a showcase of what I can write, that's not it. And neither are the memes that I'm posting on the restroom porcelain throne are either. if you're looking for a guy that's like got the Chicago Manual of Style and you're looking for somebody to get involved.
Hey, oh man, take me back to my college days. I haven't heard anyone talk about the Chicago Manual of Style. And oh wow, that's like Strunk and White, back in the day.
It's like if somebody decided to come up with a more boring dictionary and succeeded.
Yeah, I spent some of my early years in the journalism trenches, and there are people who regard that as a kind of Bible. But I'm sure you heard of DM's Guild. There's a lot of people getting noticed over there if you want to do that grind.
I messed with that grind for a bit. It's very word count based, which is super backwards right now. Like the idea of a word count being needed when most commerce is done electronically and most PDFs are done up front. The idea of a word count to fit a page count for a material printing publisher, super backwards right now.
Well, it's because there's old people running the industry.
Yeah.
And they're all thinking about, I want a big, thick book. And,
yeah, and books sell. I mean, but PDF files sell better. And that's going to be a change that they're going to either have to wake up to or get bought out by people that do.
The distribution channel's changing and there's a pandemic. And I went to my local game store a while back wearing a mask, and it was at my comic shop, actually. And I noticed the RPG section was tiny. I'm like, what's going on, guys? Like, comics sell for us, board games sell, war games sell. RPGs, we can't figure out how to make money doing it, so we're getting out of it.
Yeah.
You know? So people buy them online, and, you know, PDFs are, as you say, they sell well. So
they do. Yeah. If there's an electronic format, you know, video games are not it. They are not it. And the reason they have that problem is they don't have anybody with experience involved in the actual programming of making their game or making their games, because the nature of that technology, it's so new, you can't have experienced people working on it. So you've either got people that are engaged with the idea of game theory who've been doing it a very certain way for a very long time, or you've got people that are fresh out of college, super excited to have a high placement rate in their field, and don't know anything about retention. It's a big problem, and there's no easy quick fix for that. I think for me as a D&D consumer, my problem is whenever I look at a new book, like Into the Borderlands, for example, great book, wound up on every shelf in America, I think, for a tabletop game store. But when I look at that, I'm looking at references to lore that were out of print about twice my lifetime ago, which is, hey, I've got a reference to a thing that I can no longer purchase, and if I was a me older, still can't buy it. And there's this big old content bloat that they're trying to figure out how to handle. Star Wars has run into the same problem. Same with Marvel Comics. Mm-hmm. They've got intellectual properties that are older than most of their fans, and their fans don't have that lifetime to catch up. So they're either trying to figure out, can we make new content or not?
That's kind of why they're tapping guys like Grant Morrison or Warren Ellis before he got canceled. Take this old property. And I hate to say it because I love Warren Ellis' work and his stuff on Moon Knight especially, taking an old dusty character and making him interesting again. Hell, that's Grant Morrison's whole career going back to the 90s. Yeah. If you don't count Seaguy, which I know you love, Aid. I'm not going to say bad things
about Seaguy. I do quite like Seaguy, yeah.
And Brad's looking at us like, what the fuck is Seaguy?
I have Brad over my head. That was like, I don't know whether that was before the 2008 housing crisis or after, but that's about when my memories start.
I think how far back it was. A while.
So I need to wrap things up because... being an old guy, I have a kid upstairs who's, going to be poking in the door here in a second saying, Dad, when are we going to do this thing? Today it's Legos, I think. So this is the product. And is this the name we're going to have, Bork's Mini Holder?
Yep, Bork's Mini Holder is going to be the name of the product that is going to be going on sale anywhere I can get that thing in.
All right. So if folks want to keep track of this project and find out more as it progresses, at Bork's Meme on Twitter is probably the best place to do that.
Yes. Definitely. Okay. And in case I don't talk to you guys later, just keep on rolling dice and stop using Tupperware for minis.
Nice. All right. Well, hey, thanks. It's breath of fresh air having you on, sir. We'll have you on again in the future when you get closer to doing the Kickstarter launch. And Aid, always a pleasure to have you on, sir. Thanks for coming on to help me co-host.
No problem.
And to all our listeners and viewers out there, thanks for checking out the BAMF podcast, and we will catch you next time. Now there's